The Lord's Supper goes back farther because Jesus was at the Passover meal. And at the Passover meal, he took out two things. He took out unleavened bread, and he took out the fruit of the vine. Those were the two things. And he said, each of these two things says something powerful about who I am. Now, we know that Jesus was the Son of God. He was the Messiah, the chosen one to come into this world to defeat sin and the works of the evil one. So these two are very important things that were taken out of that. But the blood covenant goes even further back. Now that we don't get the Passover meal going further back, but if we go further back to Genesis 15, Abraham, whenever he's way past 75. I see a few of us tonight that feel like that maybe we're way past 75. But he was way past 75. God had begun to make promises to him. You need to remember the fat word that he began to make promises to Abraham whenever he was 75. We don't hear anything about those promises before chapter 12. Whenever he promised him, I will bless you and I will make you a blessing and I will bless those that bless you. And if anybody's against you, I'm against them. And I will make out of you a great nation and I will bless all the families of the earth through you. That was in chapter 12. Later on, sometime later, we don't know, is he 80 now? Is he 80 plus years? We don't know exactly how old he is in chapter 15. And in chapter 15, it says the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Now, it's very important that you know that whenever I'm using the word on you, that we are participating in the word. When you hear the word, you are supposed to say, I want to participate in what's happening there. And so Abraham had a vision. The word of the Lord came to him and he said, God said to him, I am your shield. You got a problem? You got things that you're afraid of? Anybody here tonight got anything that you're afraid of? Yes, you do. All of us have got things that we're afraid of. I'm so very glad in Psalms 34 it says, the Lord heard me and delivered me from all my fear. First of all, God said to Abraham, I am your shield and I am your exceeding great reward. And God said to, and Abraham said to God, how do I know? How do I know that you're gonna be my shield and my exceeding great reward? You promised me a child. I'm getting older. My body's not what it was at 75. I feel everything slipping away in my strength. I feel everything slipping away in my hope. We know that Abraham is eventually going to get to where his body cannot possibly produce children, except that God's going to do something amazing. Are you participating in the Word tonight? So anyway, God is speaking to him, and Abraham says, how am I going to know that? And God says, I'm going to be with you. Let's do the blood covenant. In the blood covenant, we have a heifer that is cut in half, one half on either side. We have a goat that is cut in half, one half on either side. We have a bullock that is cut in half, one half on either side. And then we have a turtle dove and we have a pigeon, not cut in half, just one on either side. There's a pathway in the middle, in between these pieces, because there's going to be offered up as a sacrifice. In a blood covenant, one man or woman would stand on one side and a woman or a man would stand on the other side and they would make promises to one another. They would say, I want to be in a relationship with you. I'm willing to promise you things. And I'm promising you based upon what these sacrifices represent. These sacrifices represent my God. So God said to Abraham, we're going to get in a blood covenant together. And Abraham prepared the sacrifices. Remember, he's an old man now. Today, I am tired tonight. And I did very little today when we had the meal. A lot of other people did a lot of work. And I kind of stood around and said, hey, how are you doing? It's good to see y'all. Come on in here. It's great to be with you. Hug, 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 hug. And I'm worn out tonight. But he prepared the sacrifices. And so when it came time to making the promises, Abraham was not being able to stay awake and he fell into a deep sleep, and the Bible calls it a sleep of horror. I think that he could hear God. I know he could. He could hear God, but he could not respond. And God begins to tell him about all the things that are going to happen for him in the future. God begins to tell him about all the promises. He said, I'm going to make promises. I'm not finished making promises to you. I want to make promises to you. I'm going to be the God that's going to keep those promises for you. And so the Bible tells us this in the 15th. You need to read chapter 15 if it's been a while. And it says that Abraham believed. That's all he could do. He couldn't make any promises back because he's in a sleep. He believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Whenever I'm going to the throne of God, I want to know, do I have any righteousness? Do I have a way of being able to get there? Well, it's all about what God gives to me and what He wants to give to you. So anyway, that's what this is all about. I'll ask Willie to come. I'll ask Tommy to come. They're going to unveil these things so that we can see the unleavened bread. We'll be able to see the fruit of the vine. We have the wine and the grape juice, depending upon what you want to choose this evening, because some people have certain needs and to be able to satisfy their faith. And so you'll be able to see those things. The unleavened bread, which is on either side in the plate, represents the perfect life of Jesus. We're going to read about it when you see the scriptures. They'll be up on the board whenever we have the opportunity. The perfect life of Jesus. Nobody else has ever lived the perfect life. Or maybe for a little while they said, wow, I feel like I'm almost perfect. And then something happened. But this represents the one perfect life, that unleavened bread, and then the grape juice, which is in the blue container, and the wine, which is in the silver container, represents the only thing that can pay for salvation. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins, and we know that only innocent, precious blood. None of us have innocent, precious blood. We see some innocent, precious children. But they don't have innocent, precious blood. Only Jesus had it. Whatever you need tonight or tomorrow or into the future, or maybe there's something in the past that you're saying, I thought I had left that thing behind and it's chasing me down and I don't know what I'm going to do. You need God to be your shield and your exceeding great reward. So tonight, do you believe that Jesus could live the perfect life? Do you believe that His blood paid for salvation? Then you're all invited to come. Take the bread and the fruit of the vine in your hand. Go back to your seats after we're all seated. Then we will all at one time take the bread together and we will all at one time drink the cup of the fruit of the vine together in two separate things. Let's go ahead and have the first row come, and then every row will stand after that row in front of you has come and will come forward. To come. Brother Willie will take care of this side, and Brother Tommy will take care of that side. Not know how powerful the Lord's Supper is. They don't know. If they knew how powerful this was, they would come running every time. Invite people to come to Liberty Baptist Church and be a part of the Blood Covenant. By faith, are holding on to Jesus tonight. Holding on to Him with your hands. You have His perfect life holding on to it in one hand, and you have His precious blood holding on to it in the other hand. Thank you. Marvin. It's good to have you here. On this side, is someone bringing you the elements, or does he need to do that? Good. You'll go ahead and do that. Take some grape juice and some wine. Ace on the other side needs to have that done, and you need to take some wine to Virginia. Okay? You're prepared now, brother. Yeah. Just remember what this is right here. Now, Abraham, have you ever, surely you've been around somebody who can sleep and know everything that's being said all around them. I'm always surprised whenever I meet somebody like that. But I know it. I know that it happens. Abraham is in this horror of a deep sleep, and God is making promises. He may not be understanding them all, but he knows that God is making promises, and he's not being able to make any. God doesn't want your promises. I'm always amazed at the things that I used to promise God that I'd do. I think God was laughing the whole time. Really? Really? You think you're going to be able to do that? I don't want you to do anything. I want you to believe and trust in me. And so we see that Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And so we want to do our part in this. What I want you to do, you want to read three portions of Scripture if you get a chance later on. You want to read the Genesis, the 15th chapter. You want to read 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. And you want to read the 8th chapter of Hebrews. In the 8th chapter of Hebrews, it tells us that Jesus brings better promises into effect. And if all of those promises that were given to Abraham and to all the others, if all of those promises that were given were of such a mighty effect that blessings followed after everybody that belonged to Abraham, blessings followed after all of those people. And Jesus is brought into better promises for us, into being better promises. Then you need to look at those that belong to you, older, younger, and you need to say, wow, I wonder what God is getting ready to do in those that belong to me. Better promises. Remember that. The 15th chapter of Genesis, the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and the 8th chapter of Hebrews. Let's observe the Lord's Supper now as we do this, the blood covenant. Paul writing by the Holy Spirit to the church that had the most sin problems. I always thought that every church ought to be perfect. I learned real quick after I started being active in churches that there's not a perfect church. There's a perfect Savior. And he was writing to the church that had the most problems, and he said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." Lord, I want every person here tonight to know tonight's a night to say, "I have received." They're not going to say it. They need to say it sometime. "I have received that I have delivered unto you." That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Now the next part is very important. And when he had given thanks, what's going to happen to him the next day? He's going to be crucified. And what's he doing? He's thanking God. Do you think he knows he's going to be crucified? No, it was a shock to him. He said, "Oh my goodness, y'all are going to take me and crucify me? I had no idea." He'd been telling them that I'm going to go up to Jerusalem. They're going to crucify me. And when he had given thanks, so whatever it is tonight that you need to give thanks to God for so that he can begin to do something amazing in it, thank him now. And when he had given thanks, he broke that bread. Would you take the bread and break it with me? And he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. We had some of the most amazing dressing today. I mean, it was good. I don't understand why crackers can't be like that. Because all we need to know that cracker represents unleavened. Leaven always represents sin. This is unleavened bread. No sin. Only one person could live that life. After the same manner, what's that manner? Giving thanks. I imagine from that moment on, till he was on the cross, and even while he was on the cross, he was thanking God for what God was going to do with us. And after the same manner, Jesus also took the cup. And when he had supped of it, he gave it to them, saying, "This cup is the New Testament. It's the new covenant, better promises in my blood. This do you, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Tonight, what you've done, and I want to ask the people on this side. Any of y'all feel like that you've done more than the people on this side did? You didn't. You were only able to take bread and a cup and believe God. Every promise, every blessing, every plan that we say, I messed up God's plan so much. And God says, "You don't know me. You think you've messed it up? I've already adjusted for everything." All of those are in play. Last verse, "For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes." He's died for us. He's risen for us. He lives for us. He intercedes for us, and he's coming back for us. Yay! I'm excited about what's getting ready to happen. Let's all stand, and we'll sing. They went out of that place, and they sang hymns and scriptures as they were going to the Mount of Olives. Let's sing the song Amazing Grace, and then we'll be, after Amazing Grace is finished, you'll be thinking, "Have I just trusted God? Has it been counted to me for righteousness?" Yes. Is God wanting to do things that I couldn't even possibly comprehend? Yes. Is God saying, "I want to be your shield and your exceeding great reward"? Yes. Let's sing this song, and then y'all will be dismissed when we are finished singing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. 'Twas blind, but now I... The Lord has promised. One more verse and then we're out of here. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secures. He will my shield and portion be. As long as life endures,